But no, I thank the Lord for it. Wouldn't trade places with nobody. All right, that's what you're supposed to say, ain't it? Amen. Now I got a sword of the Lord paper here, and I don't believe I've ever done this. What I'm getting ready to do tonight, but I thought about this the other day. I'm gonna take something out of this newspaper here, and there's a sermon here. This guy's got some points that I want to bring out, and this is a sermon by Dr. Ron Schaefer on the subject: Can we have revival? Can we have revival? A lot of churches think, we'll just do the best we can, wait on Jesus to come, and just try to hold on. But can we have revival? Everybody knows that great famous scripture back there in 2 Chronicles 7:14. You don't have to turn to it, but it does give God's remedy or God's prescription for revival. And it said, if my people, which are called by my name, has nothing to do with lost people. Revival has nothing to do with sinners. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and cleanse their land. Now, that's a promise from God's Word. That's Old Testament, I understand. But that is you're not doing any damage at all to the New Testament when you believe and claim that Scripture for a local church. I like to see God do something. I want to see God do something in my heart, your heart, our hearts, everybody's heart. And one thing about real revival is, real revival does affect the lost in the community. And real revival does affect the community in general. Real revival. I've heard a lot of preachers say, and I feel sorry for them. You may disagree with this, and I wouldn't get mad at you or fall out. I've heard a lot of preachers say, we've not seen revival in this generation. You ever heard preachers say that? And I know exactly what they're talking about when they say it. We've not seen the revival on the scale that the old time preachers had it, where they'd go in and preach in these cotton mill villages and the bootleggers would go out of business but I want to tell you something. I believe we have seen sparks of revival. I really, really do. Do you know we've seen it here in our church? It's always been smoldering there and the fires burn, and we've seen a few flare-ups where this thing has affected our community, has got a hold of politicians, of people who run places of questionable ill repute. Did you know that when they opened the liquor store right up the street here, when they opened up that ABC store, they didn't have anybody here in Marion to run it. They moved a man in here from Forest City to run our ABC store. And the gospel got a hold of him, and somebody got a hold of him, and they started bringing the church, and he got saved. And then he died. He died not too long after that. And so during that time, and I can tell you a big story about that, but that's still, God's still getting a hold of the saloon dealers and the liquor sellers. I mean, he's still doing it. A lot of times them people back in the old days didn't realize what a revival is having until it's 50 years later and they look back on it. Amen. And that's kind of the way we'll be. We'll get cheated out of what God's doing till one day we look back and say, good night, I didn't realize God was doing all of that stuff. So let's try to enjoy it now while he is doing something. And we need it. We need it right now. I want you to pray. We're going to be having, Brother Stan Harris will be here Sunday night. And Brother Stan is a black evangelist, big old guy. And he is also a karate expert. And much to my dismay, I have also now found out he's a health nut. And nobody's perfect. And he's in all this health food and stuff. And I thought, oh Lord, here we go again. He's going to try to get me to quit drinking Pepsis and everything else, the poor guy. But no kidding, all joking aside, he might want to get a group together, anybody who's interested in that kind of stuff, and talk to you. And I think that, honest to goodness, you ought to eat a bunch of junk on a regular basis. Yes, you should too, don't you, Donna? And I'll tell you why. And I'm not kidding either. Because if all you put in your body is bird seeds and nuts and flowers and herbs and stuff, you get weak. You need, really, why do you think God lets you get a germ? If God believed like that, you'd never get a germ. If God believed that, you'd never get a germ. He lets germ come in your body once in a while. So your immune system can fight it off. I know people eat too much junk. And I know when I'm traveling, I do. You know, just junk. And that's not good for you. I'm not saying it's good for you. I ain't stupid. But I think some of it is because it keeps your immune system built up. I've heard people say, well, I can't give that kid a candy bar because he'll be up to 12 o'clock. If you give him one every day, it won't. He'll go to sleep. It will not bother him. You can believe whatever you want to. It will not hurt them if you give them one ever. Give them three or four Reese cups. They'll go to sleep right on time. Do you know why? Because you get used to it. All right, if you don't believe it, I wasn't planning on getting up. If you don't believe it, right now, I'll guarantee you, right now, I could drink one beer right now and it'd knock me out. I'm sure it would. I've never drunk a beer in my life. I've tasted, but I've never drunk a whole beer in my life. But I guarantee you, if I drunk one, it'd knock me out. Dog drunk. Now, you take people that drinks beer all the time, one beer don't faze them. Right? Okay. Rest my case. I'm not saying you need beer, but you need some potato chips, Lord have mercy. And you need some French fries. And you need some ice cream, plenty of it. And you need some candy. God wouldn't let us have candy. Candy ain't going to hurt you. God made everything and it is good. No, I'm just kidding. But he is in all this hell stuff. And I know, I'm just joking with you. I could use some reform in some eating habits. And my wife fixed country style steak and gravy the other day. And if I die of artery hardening, it's her fault. But I'm telling you, our problem is in America, we don't sweat no more. People don't sweat. If you sweat a lot, you can get rid of a lot of that stuff that they say is killing us. And anyway, you'll really enjoy this brother. He's a blessing, and we'll let him just have it, let the Lord have His way, and he'll preach. And then, of course, you know, Brother Fisher's got a ministry that's going to help you. Some of you may be going through problems. Brother Fisher's got a gift he is the Swindoll of the King James Bible believers. He's like a orator, but he's a King James Bible believer, and he's real good, and it'll be a blessing to your heart. He'll touch areas in your life that you need help with, and he's real good. God's gifted him in that area, and we want to be good to these preachers. I believe during the days of revival and days gone by, when preachers come to town, God used the preacher to bless the people, and then God used the people to be a blessing to the preacher. Listen. I know what a pastor has to do. A man leaves San Diego, California and come to North Carolina and give us a week of his life. We ought to treat him like a king while he's here. I know what it's like. I mean, it ain't fun. It ain't fun dragging you. I got to drag out in the morning at 5 o'clock and drag all my stuff and put it on an airplane and get sick, traveling, probably going over top of that big storm that was here yesterday and going up that way and LA, and then I get stuck in a motel and it's freezing cold up there and you're always at somebody's mercy. They're going to pick you up, take you here, take you there. And it's not a vacation. And so we ought to really, while we're here, be good to God's man. Be good to God's man. I mean, we want to treat them like king. We want to be a blessing to God's men. I told the kids in school, if you get them to sign your Bibles, shake their hand, tell them you enjoy, write them a little card. Everybody here would be a blessing. If you wrote him a little card, say, Dear Brother Fisher, Brother Harry, thank you for coming to our church. These guys, it's tough. That traveling's tough. And so we want to be a blessing to them. We don't want to mistreat God's man while he's here. We want to be, our church is bigger. Our church is bigger than most churches where they go, so we ought to be extra good to them to make up for that little church down the road that's not able to do a lot for them. Amen? And I believe the Lord looks at stuff like that, how we treat God's man. But when you start talking about can we have revival, I want to bring you some points this man had here, and I'll just name some of them off to you. And he said, if we do have revival, number one, the power of God will be involved. The power of God will be involved. Jesus said, Behold, I send my promise unto you, but you tarry until you be endued with power from on high. The Bible said, Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I understand that to the book of, I understand that's before the Holy Ghost came. But still, you know good and well that you can wait on God in a prayer room and pray, and God's power can rest on you as a Christian. God's power will be involved. A seminar will not bring revival. A song will not bring revival. A hype will not bring revival. We could get a big quartet in here that could rock this house, man. And there's a lot of them. I mean, they'd set up drums and big old speakers in here. You'd think Iron Maiden was in this place. And I tell you, they'd come in here and this building would shake. But that cannot bring revival. I've seen a lot of groups just get out there and everybody gets a shout and clap and shout. And as soon as the music quit, the shout dies, the clap stops, everything just dead. It takes more than that. It's going to have to be the power of God. Do we really want revival? I'll tell you how we can have it. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. The power of God is involved. Then let me say this. The next thing, if we have revival, the prayer of Christians will be involved. There has never been a real revival unless people prayed. I hope you'll fast between now and Monday, at least one day. I hope you'll take it serious. There has been a revival without an evangelist. There has been revival even without a preacher. One of the greatest revivals in history began with about a 15 or 16 year old girl standing up thanking God for what he'd done for her, and it broke out into the great revival of Wales. There has been revivals without flyers printed and radio announcements, and even TV evangelists or even church buildings, but there's never been one without prayer. Never. God's people must pray. Now, if we do have a real move of God in our hearts, a fresh move of God in our hearts, Boy, we saw a little bit last night. I wish y'all could have been there last night. That was good. There's a bunch of people come to the altar. To be honest with you, I wasn't expecting it to be that good. They called me the other day and the church said 15 in Sunday school Sunday. And I mean, the church would probably seat about as many as this, you know, one section. It'd probably seat over 200, easy. About as big as this, the whole thing. And that's a pretty good sized church building. And they told me they had 15 Sunday morning. And I thought, oh boy, I dread this. Said they had 30-something for preaching. I said, well, I'll just come do the best I can. And I went Monday night, and there was probably, looked like maybe 80 to 100. And I said, hallelujah. As most people hear me on radio down there, on Gaffney, and a bunch of folks from Shelby and Lincoln or Gastonian down in there come. And I said, amen. A teenage girl got saved in the service. Then last night, with the youth choir, it was packed. They had to bring out chairs. People sitting around the front. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, they had 15 Sunday morning, probably over 200 last night. And it was a blessing. And I preached. And during the middle of the invitation, I didn't think I preached good at all. I really didn't. I thought, ugh. I had to carry a microphone around. The wire was getting hung. And I was going around like this because they couldn't hear me. And I felt like just a little dog tied on a little leash. And I was trying to get loose. And I couldn't pull it no farther. And I was just barking at them. You know, that's the way it felt. And over a fence or something. And you know what? God moved in on that thing and that old boy come out of there and business started picking up. I'm telling you what. And God got in there and it got real. And several other young people got right with the Lord. Some of our ladies prayed with them. It was a blessing. Real blessing. And some of our young people started getting in on it a little bit and getting blessed. And that's when I like it. It's when our preachers tell us when your cup gets full, the saucer gets a blessing. And it runs over. When your cup runs over, the saucer gets a blessing. So anyway, that's what will happen. That's what will happen when the power of God moves in our services. Now, if we do have that happen in our church, just one bit. Have you ever been in here on Sunday night when the Lord really just takes over and moves? And a little wave of revival comes through? There's several things that will happen. Number one, if that happens, you have a real revival. How will you know it? First of all, they're going to be a spirit of love among us brothers and sisters. You really get touched by the Lord. All that old hard feelings and bitterness in your heart just melt. Just like wax, it just melts away. And I preached on this Sunday night, so I'll not elaborate. But I tell you what, it'll make a spirit of unity among us, love among brethren. You know what will happen? If you're not careful, ladies, if you're not careful, something will happen. And you'll say, I ain't like it. And then a few months later, something else will happen with you and that same individual. And then something else will happen. And that's three things. And you start building up a case in your mind against that person. Well, I don't like them. And all that is the devil trying to get in our church. And as a, you know we disagree on stuff. You know we're a bunch of individuals. Lord have mercy. A lot of times I feel like I'm the middle of the hub and all y'all are spokes. And I'm in the middle holding this whole thing together, humanly speaking. Because I know there's people over here that love me and people over here that hate me, love me. But they hate each other's guts. And that ain't supposed to be that way. Real revival will make a spirit of unity among the brethren. You say, well, they done me wrong, preacher. Cheated me on something. I was going to preach on this one day. Did you know we got a lot of people in here in our church that's in business? What do we got in here? Good night. Plumber, electrician, carpenters, cabinet makers, mechanics. We could just about survive. That's what we ought to do. We ought to be communions. Want to move to Jonestown? I tell you, if you move to Jonestown, I'll see you later. I'm staying here. I ain't going to live down there in the jungle. But anyway, we got all kinds of professional people here in our church. And if you're not careful, you'll tell them to, we got roofers. You'll say, my roof's leaking. I mean, Tony's a roofer, but Paige Gibbs a roofer. Well, I don't even know how many carpenters, mechanics, plumbers. You'll call one of these guys, come fix my pipes, come fix my roof, come fix my car, come fix. And you'll think, now just because we go to church together, he'll do this for me for nothing. Now, number one, it's wrong for you to think like that. It is not right. You cannot take advantage of a brother in Christ just because y'all go to church together. You got to remember that man's got to make a living too. Amen? Say, well, he come fix the pipes in my house and I'm telling you he charged me so much, I can't believe he done that to me and claims to be a Christian. Well, I'm going to look around here now and see who's got the guilty look on their face. You can't get like that. You can't get like that. I mean, if somebody, you got to understand that if a person's in business, just because you're a... Now, here's what all them guys... Now, the preacher, they ought to help a preacher out. No, I just kidding. But seriously speaking, you can't expect people to... work on your house, or your car, your roof, and it like that for nothing just because they're Christian. They got to eat too. You can't expect that. They might give you a break. Praise God. But even if they don't, if a man's selling encyclopedias, and encyclopedias is $500. I mean, if they cost $500, and he says, okay, how much owe you? $500. He ain't doing you wrong. Right? There's no supposed to be no special deals just because you're a child of God. Amen, people? Amen. Now, sometimes they are, but you know what we do? We get to where we expect it. We get to where we expect, they'll give me a break, brother in the Lord there. He better give me a break. You're wrong to even expect that. What you should do, if you say, oh, I owe you $500, and you say, well, I tell you what, man, God's blessed me, I'm just going to charge you $4. Which businessmen, I think, if they can, ought to try to help their brothers in Christ. But if they can't, the brothers in Christ shouldn't gripe about it. Amen? Now, they ought to the preacher, but everybody else. That's right. I'm not saying that because I'm a preacher. I believe that. I mean, I'm not asking for nothing. God takes care of me. But if I was going to another church and I run a business, I guarantee you I'd take care of my preacher. You can say whatever you want to. You can say, well, he's just saying that because he's preaching. I'm saying that because I believe it's right. If you interpret that wrong, you're full of the devil. But I think we ought not to expect nothing special. I ought to be willing to pay my way. You ought to be willing to pay your way. I ought never say, I'm a preacher, so they're going to give me free food because they run a grocery store. You can't do that. You can't do that. You shouldn't be a bum just because you're a Christian. Amen? Come on now, say amen right there. You shouldn't be a moocher just because you're saved. Being saved don't give you a right to be a moocher. You get things, boy, I'm build me a house and I'm going to get all the guys in the church to give me a discount and I'm going to come out about half price. Now, if you do, praise God. But you can't just count on taking advantage of your brother and sister in Christ. The reason I'm saying all that is, and I've got nobody in mind when I say it. Well, I had one there. But the reason I'm saying all that, that's the truth, I did. But the reason I'm saying all this is because you'd be surprised how the devil uses little old things like that to prevent God moving in a church. I travel a lot and I hear that everywhere I go. Well, I'll tell you one thing, preacher. So-and-so down here done me wrong, you know, and blum, blum, blum. And then I ain't singing in the choir with him. And I ain't singing standing beside her, his wife over there, the way she talked to my wife, and blah, blah. You need to realize that real revival will cut out all that stuff. Real revival is worth forgetting about a few measly bucks. Ain't that right? It'd do more for your kids and grandkids, my kids, than a measly buck's worth. Well, let me talk about something else right quick. If we have real revival, there'll be a spirit of love among us. If we have real revival, we'll see the conversion of the lost souls. You'll see people get saved when real revival hits the church. It happens every time. When Jonah got right, Nineveh did. Amen? When Christians get right, lost people get saved. Yes, sir, buddy. It never fails. You get a real revival spirit burning in the church and people loving each other and crying and getting right with God. Buddy, a lost person is drawn to that atmosphere and they get saved. Why don't lost people get saved in most churches today? Because there's no fire and no life and no... Somebody said there were, I forgot how many hundreds of Baptist churches last year that did not baptize one convert. Did not have one person saved in the whole year. And buddy, that's caused no revival at all. All right, lost people will be saved. At night, the night that I got saved, my friends got saved the next night. Their friends got saved the next night. Went on for 2 weeks. And it don't just stop when the meeting's over. It goes on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, during the week. Why, it's nothing, when God really blesses the church, it's nothing uncommon at all for people to call a preacher wanting in on Monday night and Tuesday night and bring their friends in here and tell them about the Bible and winning the Lord in the church, even when services ain't going on. It's in the schools, not just in our school, but in the public schools. Real revival will touch and reach out. God can do it. God can do it. The last thing I want to say, and I'll be through, is righteous standards will be raised. Sin looks more sinful. You know, the longer you're around sin, the less sinful it seems. And then, boy, when you really get right with God, boy, sin seems this big again. It seemed that big before. But then you look at it when you get right, and it seems this big. And that's what real revival does, righteous standard. Back here in 1 Kings chapter 15, in Asa, y'all remember King Asa, A-S-A, when they had revival, buddy, the Bible said they went straight and took the Sodomites out of the land. Run them off. Got rid of them. Whereas before they just tolerated it. And all of a sudden, hey, you eat people ain't going to live here no more. Get out of town. Run the homosexuals out. And what happened is they thought, this is awful. Dogs don't do this. Cows don't do this. Leave town. You know. And what happens when real revival comes is righteous standards are raised. Somebody said this, revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead and make thy people hear. Revive thy work, O Lord, disturb this sleep of death. Quicken the smoldering embers now by thy almighty breath. Revive, revive, and give refreshing showers. The glory shall be all thine own, and the blessing shall be ours. Amen. Can we have revival? Sure we can. It's no more of a miracle than grass coming up. Somebody tears up the ground, somebody sows a seed, God gives the water and it comes up. Amen. Let's stand by our head for prayer.